Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's something about that scripture. It said, he that eateth unworthily. What brought about that scripture? It was something that brought about it too. If you read in the earlier verses, it was talking about people coming carnally, and there's separation, and there's division, and then people will come, one is not talking against the other, all manner of carnality were taking place there, then they will come on the day of communion, and then they will come and say, hey, we are one body, because that is what it signifies. One piece of bread, broken into several pieces, to tell us that we are all connected to that one body of Christ. That's why you take a piece, I take a piece from the same lump. How can you say we are one in Christ's body and then hate again one another? If you come in that condition and partake, he said you are eating it unworthily. He said you do that not understanding the Lord's body. That's what he's saying. It's because you don't understand the Lord's body. If you understand the Lord's body, then you will understand why Jesus Christ say, if you do it to the least of this my brethren, you've done it to me. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, Apostle Paul broke it down to let us know how to understand the Lord's body. The Lord's body is one body, one love, one faith, one body called the body of Christ, and it's a spiritual mystical body. One body, but it has many members that make up that one body. When you are born again, you come in as a part of that body. Amen. That's why he said, he now used the physical body. One body called Moses, Alu. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother David, can you come forward? Brother David. Praise the Lord. Don't know if you will understand me. Now, I don't want to use him. For instance, this is one body. David. You are David. But this, your David, comprises of different members. The hand is a member. The leg is a member. The eye is a member. And every one of these members have a particular role to play in that body. Hallelujah. The ear is a member. Apostle Paul said, there are some members that are visible, and there are some members that are not visible. And he even said that the ones that are invisible, they are even more important than the ones that are visible. Because the ones that are visible cannot even exist if the ones that are invisible are dead. Now together, the hands, the ear, intestines, the heart, together, what do I call him? David. Now when I say David, come forth. Oh yeah, come forward. Who is coming out? David. But as he's coming out, he is moving with the whole members together, making that one body. So Apostle Paul went further. He said, even if the hand decides to talk, say, I don't belong to you, I don't belong to you. He said, does that mean it does not belong to the body? Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Apostle Paul said, if one member suffer, the remaining part of the body will suffer with it. Eh? If your kidney has problem, God bless you, sir. Maybe sit there. If your kidney that nobody sees, if he has a problem, what is the first sign that they will see? Your eye will react. Color will change. Amen. Immediately they see your eye, the next thing is the doctor will say, what we do test for your kidney. Hallelujah. If mosquito bites you, in fact, look, praise God. You understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. What is a headache? Headache is announcement to you that a part of your body has problem. Headache is not sickness. Headache is announcer. So somewhere is having problem, your head will pain you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now the leg, the hand is stand and say, oh, I'm better than you. I'm better than you, leg. I'm better than you, leg. I'm better than you, leg. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the leg, or the leg is saying, you hand. I don't need you. I don't need you, hand. I don't need you, hand. I am leg. I am leg. I can go anywhere I like. I can move anywhere. You cannot even move without me. You depend on me to move. You know, some people actually talk like that in Christianity. Wait first. Until you go enter Porto Porto, fuck out, you mad shit. That is when you will need the hand to wash it. So you will know that the hand is important. Even on that your leg, if you enter somewhere, they will drive you away from there. Because you mad shit. Every part is important. Be careful, therefore, how you deal with one another. That is the reason why the ordinance of feet washing is instituted. It's an ordinance. It's no opportunity for us to physically just wash your leg. It is saying something. I will clean you up, you will clean me up. You depend on me, I depend on you. I will help you, you will help me. One body, different members. So, with that knowledge, you are careful. Because when you are actually hating somebody, you are actually hating a part of your body. The body that you belong to. And he said, for that reason, many are weak. What is the weakness? It's spiritual weakness. Not the type that sister is sleeping there. It's not that type of weakness they're talking about. Weak. You are weak. That's why a witch and a wizard is messing you up. You are spiritually weak. Spiritually weak. Can't even pray for 1 hour. You know why? Because you are disconnected from a flow. When we are knitted together, hallelujah, there's something, the power of that brotherly kindness. When you are connected together like this, we become sensitive in the spirit to what is going on around one another. So if there's a danger that is about to catch a sister somewhere, because we are connected through genuine Christian love, I will see it. So many people will see it, and they will wake up wherever they are and pray and restore you without you even knowing what is going on. Hallelujah. But because of carnality among us and selfishness among us and wickedness among us and hatred among us, we are very, very weak. See? And many are sickly. Sickly there. Amen. Sickly there. Because the weakness includes the inability to resist sin. You are weak. The slightest temptation, you fall. And all manner of sicknesses among us. Certain sicknesses that should not be found among Christians. A true church, when you come in like this, with any sickness, just entering this atmosphere, the sickness should go. And if it doesn't go, brethren, we gather around you and face that thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brotherly kindness. And because of it, said many sleep. There are some deaths that take place in our midst that is very embarrassing to us. Very embarrassing. Very, very embarrassing. They said recently one brother was sitting in his balcony and just collapsed and died. It shouldn't happen. It should not happen. That is contrary to God's promise for his people. A need for a solemn assembly. Like the battle of Ai. Joshua, he had a promise that he will not lose anybody. But one time he lost about 14 people. And he knew that was contrary now. And they had to come back and have a solemn assembly. Why should this happen? This is contrary to the will of God. Search yourself. Bride assembly, search yourself. Search yourself. A Babylonian camel was in the camp of the enemy, of Israel. There was an Achan that took a Babylonian camel. Contrary to the word of God. There are things we stand for in this ministry. If you don't believe in it, stop coming here. Don't come. Leave us to be few like this. Quality is better than quantity. It disturbs fellowship. It disturbs fellowship. Fornicators are sitting down here and saying, I am bride. 419, they are sitting down here and saying, I am bride. Thieves are sitting down here and saying, they are bride. Dishonest people are sitting down here saying, they are bride. Alcoholics are sitting down here and saying, they are bride. Wicked people are sitting down here saying they are bride. Jealousy people, prostitutes, homosexuals, all the abominable things gathering together saying they are bride. How can we have true fellowship like that? Light and darkness cannot come together. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Hallelujah. And let us not be weary, be tired of well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My emphasis is verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, he said, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially among us. After all, charity begins to start here. Brotherly kindness. Add it to godliness as a step to perfection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because remember, Matthew chapter 22 from verse 34. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ put it. Matthew 22 verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? That is, what he's saying is, in order of importance, which is the most important commandment? Among all the commandments in the law, tell me which is the most important. Jesus said unto him, Thou shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. What is the second one? Thou shall love thy neighbor as thyself. And he added in verse 14, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments is love. Because if you love your neighbor, you will not want to hurt him. You won't covet your neighbor's property, his wife. You won't kill your neighbor if you love him. You can't kill what you love. Praise the Lord. So it's a commandment. Brotherly kindness. Add it to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the next one is add to brotherly kindness. What are you to add? Say it very loud. Very loud, say it. Charity. And that is the third kind of love. Agape. Agape is a love that is self-sacrificing. It is a sacrificial love. It is unconditional love. And it is not by constraint. It is a love that is voluntarily displayed. It is a love that goes beyond brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness ends among your brethren, but charity goes beyond brothers to loving even your enemies. When you reach that level, then you are perfect. Agape love. Brotherly love is it has a limit, it has a scope within your family, within the church, within your neighbor. And remember, it is of mutual benefit because it is contractual. Because the day you don't come to my church again, that type of love is broken. Eh? The day your father disowns you, that type of love is broken. The day your wife vexes you, then you go to court, that day the case, the love is broken. That is brotherly love. But agape goes beyond that. And William Bryan made it clear to us. Amen. That is where you receive. When you get that stage, then you are about to be adopted. There is a power that cannot be given to a child who has not fully matured. If because the power that you're going to have is the power of life and death. You can use that power negatively, and you can use that power positively. If there is nothing to restrain you, to check you, you will do damage with that power when it is given to you. So God will not release that power to you until you reach that stage of charity. Charity is God's own kind of love. It's divine. Charity is not you working it out. Charity is God in you now expressing himself. Charity. Hallelujah. Amen. For God so loved the world. You see? That while we were yet sinners. So it's not because you did anything that merited Christ coming down. And he said that type of love is sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. You see? His only begotten son. That's the only thing he had on earth here. All the rest Satan had taken over. His only property he had. What did he do? Love constrained him to give his only begotten. Charity. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what Jesus was expecting of us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. He said, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Because the law says so. A tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. Do me, I do you. God no vex." Amen. He said, "But I say unto you, What should you do? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, let's be very sincere with ourselves. I know even as I talk so now, somebody now in our midst will say, Pastor, you know the meaning of that thing, so. But the Bible says, suffer not a wish to live. Jesus was referring to that law. Suffer not a wish to live is Old Testament. Now we have come to a better covenant. It is a covenant of perfection. Amen. So now, the question is it possible to love your neighbor? To love your enemy? Is it possible? It's very difficult. Do you know why it is difficult? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know why it is difficult? Because you have not yet attained that level of maturity. That's why it is difficult. Amen. Let me come down to the story of the rich young ruler. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus Christ told him, you know the law now. Don't steal, don't kill, don't do this, don't that. He said, I have observed all this. Jesus said, you've observed all this? Then he told him, now, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come. And you enter the heaven. The man looked at him. What is this man saying? And he walked away. And Jesus Christ was telling his disciples. He said it would be very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom. He says it's easier for the head, for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Why? Because of his wealth. But Jesus Christ added, if you read that story, he said, because the disciples themselves, they had to add, then who can enter the kingdom now? He said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is a level that God will come and possess you. Then you will be like Apostle Paul and count all your achievement as what? Tongues. It is because we have not reached that level yet. That is why you think it is impossible to love your enemies. You see? Now, I am teaching so that we shall aspire to get to that level. Because it is compulsory. We must get there before the rapture. It is part of God's divine agenda. We will never go in the rapture at this level that we are in. Because half-baked people will not go to heaven. Half-baked people cannot be the bride of Jesus Christ in this age. Listen, church. There is no other work of perfection that will be done after we die. The work of perfection will only be done while we are still alive. There will be no more work of perfection when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we are already perfected. So, if you aspire to go, then submit yourself for the work of perfection. And it is God that does it. He said, beloved, he that loveth is of God, for God is love. He that loveth not does not know God. And the kind of love he's talking about is divine love, known as agape love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we have two things, two words. Your enemies and your neighbors. Who is your enemy? Your enemy is one that does not like you, that does things to hurt you. that does evil things against you, that wants you dead, that wants you down, that stumbles you, does everything to make your life miserable, he is your enemy. The commandment says you should love your enemies. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is not only that person that is living next door to you, that is sitting next to you in your church, that is your classmate, that is your neighbor in your market. Your neighbor, Jesus Christ, they ask him, who is your neighbor? And then he used the story of the Good Samaritan. You see? The religious people saw him, they passed. They passed when they met a man that was robbed by robbers on a journey. Then one Samaritan. And why did he call him a Samaritan? Because the Jews believe that they are higher than the Samaritans. They are the spiritual ones. Samaritans are polluted people. They are inter-message believers that think that denominational. What denominational person pass? You that believe the message, restoration, you pass. But a denominational Catholic, reverend Catholic, full of love, always kissing the babies, passed and saw, and compassion. He didn't know him, but he took care of him. Took him to the hospital. Did everything. Praise God. And even promised, if there is more bill, he will come and pay later. He doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know where he comes from. And they said, who among these three groups of people is the neighbor now? Hallelujah. So that you will understand. He said, as much as lieth in you, he said, do good to all men. All men. Amen. You see, you cannot achieve it one day. And I'm not telling you to live here and stick the feathers. You know what I mean by stick the feathers? Don't act it. If you act it, you will jam rock. Because very soon you go tire. The person where you have will turn, finish you. See me, I say, make a help person, you know. After I help and finish, see what they do me. You've been nursing that wound. It's because you expected the person to pay you back. That is not agape love. Agape love does not expect anything from you. He doesn't even want to know your address. All he knows is that he has seen your need. It is the need that he saw that constrains him. It brings out what is in him to respond. And if you don't have it, you can't give what you don't have. If you have God, you have love. If you have hatred, the demon in you is Satan. The spirit in you is a devil. Because by their fruit, we will know them. When you see somebody good is happening to him, and you feel bad towards it, you are possessed by a demon. Praise God. Oh, divine love. Add brotherly kindness. Add it. Add love, charity to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. This is the way he put it. Verse 12 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. And verse 13, he said, put on therefore as the elect. Are we not elect? Elect of God, holy and beloved. That is who we are. We are elect of God, we are holy, and we are beloved. He said, we should put on therefore the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another. And forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now verse 14. And above all these things, what should you do? Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of perfectness is the sealing of perfection. And it's a commandment. Put it on. That is the seal of perfection. And that is charity. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because there is even a power. People who flow in that realm. I have said this before. Because I've experienced it. God allow us to experience some things in our search for godliness. Then later on, we begin to understand those things. You know, as time goes on. William Branham was telling us something. If you have ever read this message that he titled The 11th Commandment. That message is a very powerful message. Dear William Branham told us the secret of the success, or the secret of his anointing, the secret of the testimonies that followed his ministry. The secret of the testimony that followed his. And then and he was saying that it is not every healing, deliverance that came his way that was thus said the Lord. Of course, a vision can break forth and then you give solution. Now, remember, it is God now coming back, coming down to heal somebody through him. Now, that he said that he observed that there is a power that is released when you operate that gift in love. Then, in that message, he was teaching us, he said, before you can pray for somebody and have results, he said, you have to enter into the feeling of that person first. You see? Not jumping about and shaking and waiting to receive fire. He said, that you see somebody stand before you and then you imagine the person's condition, then you enter into the feeling of that person. He said, in that estate, when you offer any prayer in that estate, he said, you don't pray that prayer two times, there will be answer. You see, you can never sell all you have to give to the poor until you get into the feeling of that poor man, that poor woman. For God so loved the world. It is that love projected, that love that brought forth Jesus Christ. It is that love that brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And why I say so is that I have experienced it. The day that I read that message, I read that message in 1990, and I used to think that it was some special healing gift I had. I didn't know that there was a feeling of compassion all around me, and that is what was producing the testimonies. You see, here am I inside the prison yard that time, and then people were dying. People were dying. Oh, inside the Koyi prison, we took a statistics. Myself and Ganipa with me. We were cellmates in Ikoyi prison. His room was like that, my own was the next room. So he had this organization. We wanted to make a case I discovered he had the same body with me. Help put people here like animals. What is human rights? So we undertook something we are doing there. We got 1 year, 1 year, on 1 year, the people that died, plus the dead, plus everything. We wanted to embarrass the government by publishing it in the newspaper, their names and the date they died, without anybody knowing. 1 year, there were 148 of them in one prison. Sorry, in 6 months, that year, 6 months, 140 something. Every day, they are taking dead bodies out. See? And that's the kind of compassion. They had a place, a particular cell. That is where when they bring you to that cell, they're expecting that in a few hours' time you will die. So they remove you from the living and put you there. Once you get there, they are preparing blankets that they will use to cover you. You must die. Then you will see them bring dry people and very horrible, very horrible. And here am I was always weeping and crying. I said, this is a human being. That's what will be in my mind. This person has relation. This person has family. This person has a wife somewhere. This person has children. This person has been put here, treated like an animal. When I look at them like this, tears will come out of my eye. And I won't know when I will go. I will just lay and I say, Lord, have mercy. Because you won't even know where to touch. Scape is everywhere. And everyone that I lay her like that and prayed, life came back. One day, I got another prisoner. That cell, there were many who were sick, dying. From there, they picked dead people. And then we said, look, let this dead die. And we took a 3 days dry fasting. And when we did that, till I left that prison, no single person died again. We entered that cell. We told the warder, open that cell. I want to stop the spirits. In that dry fasting estate, we anointed everybody that was there. We counseled death. I remember that the controller of prison, I heard him, when it was to happen, God will allow you to hear it. I heard him when he was saying, for 1 month now, nobody has died. He was saying it. And I was not doing it so that they would notice me. The controller did not know I prayed, I fasted. What type of love is that? It's not a love that was seeking, it was not an action that was seeking self-glory. What was my joy? Death stopped. Inside that prison, you see people that have been there for 4 years because of 200 naira bail. I will save for money from home. And anyone could afford. I was giving it to them to give to their lawyers to release them. Love. When you come into that estate, HIV cases, cancer cases that have come to me, that have testimony, I did not feel any vibration. When I see somebody having AIDS, what I am seeing is a death sentence. And I'm saying, I may be seeing this person now for the last time as a human being. Now die, this person, they die so. Before you know what, you get into that feeling. When I lay my hand on that person and pray, there is a power that is released because I have entered into the feeling of that person. That is the secret. That is the difference between me and other ministers, many other ministers in this church. It is not fasting that produces power. It is the love divine. Express. It produces a power. Unless that feeling comes upon you, don't waste your time interceding for anybody. You are fasting. You are only starving yourself. Nothing. Tell you now a secret. See? I will never deceive you. If I'm not in the mood to pray for you, I will tell you when to come. Even if you force me, that is just that. I will tell you, look, I don't like deceiving people. I cannot pray now. See, I tire. I am tired. Jerry, help me beg this brother. If you want to make a deceiver, make him come. Then I'll say, it is done. You hear? It's done. Nothing like that. I know the secret. There's a power when there is love. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the same thing that constrains you to help the poor. The same thing that constrains you. You will see somebody every day, the same pair of cloth. The same pair of cloth. Then you will remember, and I have clothes that for the past 1 year I have not worn. You begin to feel guilty that your brother has no clothes. I mean, why you have the ones that you don't even remember you have. It will push you to go and empty your wardrobe to come and give that person. It is love. And that type of love is divine love. Agape love. It is charity. And that's why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about the gifts. Nine spiritual gifts. Manifestations, the operations and everything. Then, 1 Corinthians, amen. Okay, let's read verse chapter 12 first. Verse 28, 29, 30 and 31. Then we go to chapter 13. Are we there? This is what he said. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Are all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That excellent way of operating your gift is chapter 13, verse 1. It said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That is, you are just a noisemaker. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I have no charity, profited me nothing. Why will I give all my property to the poor and still not have charity? That means you are giving it for show. You are giving it for vainglory. There are some acts of kindness we do so that people will see us. Then you'll be announcing. See? Are people here? You know, there are some culture, tradition. There are some people that I have seen. You know, when they want to introduce somebody, you know, they take time to tell you. You see, this David. He want to tell you, David, oh, this is David. Then he will tell you how I am the one that brought him up. 1964, when he came to Lagos, there was nowhere to stay. I brought him up. Then I used my connection, then I put him in the army. He's a captain. He's a colonel now. You see, I'm the one that brought him up. Let the whole world know that you are the one that... It's not enough for you to say he's my brother. He's my brother's son. No, they must know I brought him up. And any time I'm having such introduction, I feel so uncomfortable. Because if I'm to talk my own, wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know how many people in this church I've given personal, or they are on my personal scholarships? Eh? And none of them even knows where I am living. And I don't even know where they are living. I don't have their address. But I just want to ensure that they have something better, because I saw their condition. Not because I want them to serve me. But I just feel, how much school fees, how much is something I can spend, you know? So, and that can help somebody. Nobody in your family has gone, your father or your siblings, none go to school. No, you break that course. See? And I'm not going to the father to say, that your pikin. You know, they even call me. Now only during school fees. Many of them, they know they greet me until month end. Daddy, I hope you have not forgotten me, your month don't end. Oh, then I will remember. So I will stand here. You see, this person is a graduate now. I am the one that sponsored him. Nothing like that. If you do all that and there is no charity, charity there is, you did not do it out of a godly love and concern. Praise the Lord. Godly love and concern. He said, you have achieved nothing. God does not even recognize it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When a sister that I found out that, you know, had a past, that she was going to be very vulnerable to what this nonsense that is going on, going to be thrown out to the streets, and she could be tempted to go back to her former vomit, and came for nothing but counseling. And as I was counseling, I got to see what she was going through. A young girl, I say, so all the problem you need is accommodation. Okay? Come so time, look for accommodation that is not more than 200,000. Come and meet me, I will give you. Now, I gave that money. It is between me and her. And you will never know. And nobody knows. And nobody will know. Even my wife, in fact, she's hearing it now for the first time.